This is Christopher O'Reilly, and welcome to this week's podcast of From the Top. Enjoy.
From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
This week, it's our special highlight show featuring some of our favorite moments from the past couple of seasons. We'll hear Elgar's beautiful Salut d'Amour, performed by a teenage cellist from Virginia, and a young violist shares the top 10 worst things you can say to a musician after a concert. And now, spinning around in a chair here next to me is our host, concert pianist Christopher O'Reilly.
Hello, all. I'm a little dizzy. Great to be with you today in the studio, though.
You ready to play DJ?
Absolutely. I was already spinning in my chair because I've just gone over the amazing kids we're revisiting today.
So you're pleased?
Totally. I mean, this is a model show. This show should be used as a recipe for anyone who wants to make a great From the Top. It's got pretty much the perfect combination of ingredients.
Nice cooking metaphors, Chris.
You like that?
I do.
Well, okay, let's turn the heat up to 11 then, Joanne. Let's start this thing. Get ready for a hot shot violinist, 18-year-old Charles Yang.
Thank you.
Charles Yang, 18-year-old violinist from Austin, Texas, playing Henri Vieuxtemps' variations on Yankee Doodle, in case you missed it. Hot, man. Really hot.
Thank you.
Really
thank
enjoyed
you,
that with you. Charles, you were on our show 5 years ago before you were even in high school. I mean, do you believe that or do you remember it?
Yeah, I do remember. I was a fat Chinese kid, a little short buzzhead. Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, and as anyone who's watched our series on PBS, they've seen you. You were a star, totally, a star on one of those episodes. But we know you quite well, but still, you fascinate us.
After all,
there are so many sides to Charles Yang. First of all, there's Charles Yang, the Texan. What is it about you that makes you quintessentially Texan?
We love football. We love tailgating and barbecue. And just everything about Texas rocks.
True enough.
Yeah.
Weren't you the first Asian homecoming prince at your high school?
I was. I was the first Asian homecoming prince. Thank you. It was a beautiful event.
Sorry, unfortunately, his accomplishments kind of go down from there, but that's
okay. Oh, thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, Chris.
Now, the other side, another side of Charles Yang. Charles Yang, the would-be pop singing star. When you were on our TV show, Charles, didn't you say you were going to try out for American Idol?
Yeah, I did say that.
So, fantastic. How did it go?
You raised me.
Charles, you rock. You rock.
Thank
you sound
you.
Even better than Josh Groban. And so they accepted you, of course. You're going to be on next season.
Well, I never really auditioned.
You didn't?
I had too much homework. It was more important, you know?
Oh, God. Senioritis didn't
Senioritis.
Didn't give you the time off, I guess.
I guess not.
Hey, but you know, the Charles Yang I like the best, better than anybody on American Idol. Seriously, it's Charles Yang, the classical musician, and you're giving that a shot. Where are you going to school next year?
I'm going to Juilliard next year in New York. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And, you know, I want to pursue this career in music and... Yeah. Not that I have a choice or anything. It's
well, that's good to hear. That's always good
to
hear.
To do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I want to learn new things over there and live the big life and never go to sleep.
Looking forward to living in New York as well?
Exactly, yeah.
Won't be getting much sleep, I'm going
to Won't
imagine.
Be getting much sleep, but that's okay.
That's fine.
Yeah. More time for practicing.
Oh, yeah. Charles, we expect great things from you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you
great
very much.
Great to see you, as always. Charles Yang. 18-year-old violinist from Austin, Texas, but not for long.
Yeah, it really doesn't hurt to start a highlight show off with Charles Yang. He wakes you up.
Okay, well, so you're awake.
I am.
You've taken in some amazing violin playing. What does our From the Top mixture require next? Don't look at the playlist.
Okay, well, knowing you as I do, I'm going to guess you're going to want piano next.
Piano, yes. But more importantly, to balance out the very guy energy of Charles Yang, how about a female pianist?
Ah,
you know who I'm talking about.
That would be Michelle Kahn.
From Avon Park, Florida. And when Michelle performed on our show, she was at a very interesting time in her life. With the help of a great teacher, she had made a breakthrough and had really started to define her own space as an artist. A really good teacher changed your attitude about playing. In what way?
Yes. I've actually had two different significant teachers in my life. My first teacher, she gave me a really great foundation. She really taught me how to listen and what to do to come up with the sound that I wanted. But I was more immature at that age, and I never, like, it helped me, but I didn't appreciate it at just the personal level. It didn't really hit me at that age. When I turned 14, my second teacher, Jock Linder, he actually told me, remember, it's you playing. That was, you know, some of his words to me, that it's just, it's not someone else. I mean,
and it's
a
not
lot
just,
of these pieces,
just anonymous recreation of these pieces.
No,
it's you.
Something, exactly. And a lot of, there are many different musicians can play just the same piece. And what makes it amazing is when there's something different about it. Each performer comes up with something that, you know, they personalized it. And that's what I, that's what I'm trying to achieve, you know, just coming up with my own style.
She says she's trying to come up with her own style. Trying, more like succeeding, more like living it. This is an incredibly bold performance. Here's the 18-year-old Michelle Kahn performing the fourth movement of the Piano Sonata No. 1 by Alberto Ginastera.
From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need, on the web at jkcf.org.
And that also would be an important ingredient in making a great highlights show.
What?
Having a kid on who has received a Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award from
right,
us.
Right, of course!
Like Gabriel Campos, the musician up next.
And he's a clarinetist, which is a nice shift.
He's a great clarinetist, and he and I performed Solo de Concours by André Messager when we did a show in San Francisco. Gabriel, why don't you introduce the piece we're going to be playing together?
We will be playing by French composer André Messager, Solo de Concours.
So how did this piece come about? There's a purpose, there's a design behind it.
I've heard for many years this piece... was used as the test exam piece in the Paris National Conservatory. And basically, if you were able to play the piece correctly, you would get your diploma, your artist diploma from the conservatory.
We'll hope for the best. It's a very tough jury here.
Thank you.
our clarinetist, the 17-year-old Gabriel Campos. He comes to us from Costa Rica. He's presently studying at the Interlochen Arts Academy in Upper Michigan. You come from a musical family, your mother and father.
Right. My father is a jazz drummer, and my mom is a jazz vocalist. So since I was born, I've been listening to Charlie Parker's music, Thelonious Monk, kind of Utterly, and all kinds of jazz artists that you can imagine.
So how do you come to play classical clarinet? What brought you to that?
I don't know. I just, you know, I thought maybe something different. I started at the conservatory. My dad wanted me to have the basic knowledge, and I just went for music.
Yeah. And how does your dad, for instance, you know, feel about you taking the classical road?
Right. We argue a lot. He says I don't have swing, and then I said you don't have rhythm, and then he says you don't understand the music, and I said, well, you don't even read music, so what are you talking about?
You obviously have great, great parents, but you were saying it's sort of the relationship between kids and elders in Costa Rica is basically more respectful of adults than you see here.
Right. What I've noticed is that since this is a great country that has great opportunities for kids, everything is pretty much for a young student. He has it already. And many times kids maybe take things for granted from their parents. I think they shouldn't forget how important is what they have, and that, you know, they should be really thankful, because in many countries like mine, mm-hmm. we don't have the resources and opportunities to achieve our goals and dreams. So I think it's always important for all the young people in this country to always remember what is it that they have. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Well, Gabriel, it's very nice to have you as the reality check in terms of, you know, not taking certain things for granted. So thank you for that. Gabriel, speaking of your worldview, you have a very clear picture of what you want your future to be.
Right. I do want to like to keep a very focused goal, which is I want to play in a major symphony and teach. And I specifically want to get married and have two kids and a dog.
We all join in hoping all of that and more for you.
Thank you very much,
Gabriel. Really nice to be with you. Gabriel Campos, 17 years old, from Costa Rica, attending the Interlochen Arts Academy in Michigan.
For behind-the-scenes stories, features on From the Top alumni, and videos of our wonderful young performers making music and getting out into the community beyond the concert hall, visit fromthetop.org/blog.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from U.S. Trust, who believes that the arts play a vital role in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians, as well as NPR listeners. From the National Endowment for the Arts, committed to advancing artistic excellence, creativity, and innovation for the benefit of individuals and communities. And from the Howard and Geraldine Pollinger Family Foundation, nurturing the development of talented emerging artists and sharing the joy that the performing arts bring to life.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, it's our annual highlight show featuring some of the most outstanding kids we've met over the past couple of seasons. Coming up, the junior winners of the Fischoff National Chamber Music Competition perform the opening movement of Debussy's String Quartet in G minor. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
We're going to hear next from a great young cellist, Marvin Brown. To give a little background, Marvin was a senior when he came on our show, and he was applying to schools. Our teenage roving reporter, Taja Coleman-Jones, was hoping he'd go to school in Boston. To that end, she took Marvin to the Boston Common to show him her hometown, and they ended up having quite a talk.
This is Boston. This is central Boston. You haven't caught it at the best time of the year because, you know, it just became spring a couple days ago.
Yeah, well, musicians are usually pretty creative, so I can kind of see, like, an image in my head of how gorgeous it is in the summer.
It would be a lot more prettier when things are bloomed up. So this is the city. This is what it's like. Speaking of cities and school and everything, I've heard you've applied to other cities.
Yeah, I applied to the Manhattan School of Music and the Juilliard School in New York City.
You've done some stuff in New York, haven't you?
I have, yes. I played at the Apollo Theater in October of 2005.
That's big.
That is big.
Not many people do that.
You're right, not many.
So, how'd that work out for you?
Well, the Apollo is kind of known for its notorious crowd. They can boo you, and if they don't like you, they'll boo you, and you'll have some guy come out and humiliate you in front of the whole crowd, and he'll come out and, like, literally kick you off the stage.
Did you play classical music? What did you play?
Well, as you can imagine, I did not want to get booed, so I did not play classical music. I played kind of a contemporary piece. It was written in 98 by Mark Summer, who's the cellist for the Turtle Island String Quartet.
Mm-hmm.
There are some kind of hip-hop techniques in the piece that entails plucking the strings as if it was a guitar and tapping it. And it was really cool, like percussion-like stuff. And after I finished playing, I got like a kind of I got a standing ovation from the entire studio audience, so I was really relieved. And,
well, it's something different.
Yeah, really That's excited cool. that they kind of embraced me and accepted me.
Really?
Yeah.
So, did you get any kind of inspirational, quote-unquote, comments?
Actually, a lot of people from the audience kind of came up and congratulated me and told me that it was good to see, you know, someone like an African-American male doing something different and, mm-hmm. you know, being good at it. And that was really refreshing for me because I was kind of afraid that I'd be booed. Not because it sounded bad, but more because they don't really know it. They don't really know cello music or classical music. And it was good to see. And I think it's kind of, music is so universal. Right. And I think if something's appealing to the ear, then everyone can like it no matter what the genre is.
And kind of going from that, do you think it's difficult for you being an African-American male playing a cello and, you know, kind of being in a... I don't know what to call it, a field where it's mostly dominated by Caucasians or people, you know, unlike yourself, African-American.
Well, there are two answers to that. First of all, in the classical music world, if you will, it's actually not at all. I mean, usually people kind of embrace me and I think they like seeing, you know, an African-American who's, you know, clearly loving music and dedicated, and, you know, I do pretty well with it, I guess. And that's not difficult. It's more actually in my own culture that's kind of difficult. At my school's like 50-50 black white, and a lot of the other black kids in my school don't really accept my playing the cello. Actually, I did my school's talent show last year, and, you know, they liked it enough to, you know, give me a kind of an applause. It wasn't much of an applause, but it was an applause nonetheless. And then when it was announced that I won the talent show, I got booed from like every direction of my school's auditorium.
Oh,
you know, they kind of liked it enough that I was just doing it, whatever. And
but not enough for you to win.
Yeah. And also, you know, I've been kind of, in a sense, not by everyone, but by a lot of people, ostracized because of my playing the cello and being what many call it's a white thing to do, I guess.
Ha.
And
yes.
I mean, I can't count the number of times that I've been called a white boy or.
Same here.
Yeah.
Same here.
You've been called a white boy?
I've been called a white girl.
Yeah.
And I sound white, which I don't think you can sound a race, but.
Well, I think it's more a matter of ignorance because.
It is ignorance.
Trying to insult me, but really you're kind of insulting yourself because I, you know, can play the cello it's as if you're saying, you know, black people can't do these types of things.
Right.
Because you're just not capable of it. And so that's why I kind of find it kind of amusing, because you're insulting me, but you're really not.
You're really not. Yeah. It's just, I think it's more frustrating than insulting to hear. Like, why can't I just be myself? Why do I have to try and be acting like somebody else?
Yeah, exactly.
Because I do what I do.
Also, I mean, there are a lot of students whose parents could, they had the resources to give, pay for them to have private music lessons, and I didn't. And there were no other resources that I could, you know, rely on. I mean, I was only in fifth grade when I started, so it's not like I could go on my own and kind of find some way to pay for playing private music lessons. So I was kind of discouraged by that, and the fact that, you know, some of the people who had been playing for a while were kind of snobby. Yeah, and that's why cello is really important to me, because, I mean, a lot of what I've done I did on my own. And, of course, now I have, you know, a great, fabulous cello teacher who's kind of refining what I've done on my own, so...
That's cool. That's cool. So I guess the cello's here to stay.
Yeah, well, cello is my passion, and as long as I'm here, the cello's definitely going to be here.
Ladies and gentlemen, Marvin Brown. Welcome, Marvin. Great to hear your story, suffused with perseverance and dedication and fortitude. We applaud you for that. What are you and I going to play together?
We will be playing Salute d'Amour by Sir Edward Elgar.
All right.
Over the last 10 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $2 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more.
Okay, Joanne, there's one seasoning that we have not yet added to our highlights show concoction.
Go ahead.
We haven't heard from one of our really incredible teenage chamber ensembles.
Well, we must address this immediately.
And we must, and we will, with the Newman String Quartet from the Settlement School in Philadelphia. Tell everyone who these fabulous musicians are, Joanne.
They are Robin Bollinger and Justine Lambudge, both 15, the violinists, Paul Lariah, 18, viola, and Sarah Rommel, 18, cello. They're performing the first movement of Debussy's String Quartet in G minor.
Thank you. The opening movement of Debussy's String Quartet, played for us by the Newman Advanced Study String Quartet from the Settlement Music School in Philadelphia. Our 15-year-old violinists, Justine Lamb Budge and Robin Bollinger, our 18-year-old violist, Paul Loria, and our 18-year-old cellist, Sarah Rommel. Justine and Sarah, incidentally, are both recipients of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award. Congratulations on that, ladies. And of course, we mentioned before that you all won second place at the Fischoff competition, a fantastic honor. Paul, what do you think the judges picked up on? What was the special quality about your group? What do you think it was?
Well, personally, I feel that our group has a certain kind of group energy that maybe the other groups, you know, may have or may not have. I think it has a lot to do with, you know, how close we are as friends.
Chemistry.
Yeah.
Robin, don't you want to give a shout out to your coach of this fine group?
Absolutely. Our coach is Mr. Sidney Curtis at the Settlement Music School, and he's very special to all of us. He's especially dear to me because I've known him for most of my life, if not all of it. And actually, he gets really emotional, and he's just so attached to all of us, and he expresses it very easily in tears.
But besides that, he's always the first person to go, "Bravo!"
it's great. But when we were at Fischoff, he was too proud of us, so he couldn't yell "Bravo" because he was crying.
Is it true, Justine, that you are the girl who drove over her violin?
That was me. Although I was about 10, so my mom was driving. But yes, it was still my fault, and it was still me. I was going to camp early in the morning. I was exhausted. I had an audition that morning. And so, you know, I pack up my violin, get in the car, and leave the violin outside under the wheel. And didn't realize anything, you know, ran back in the house a couple times, and then we drove over it and made this huge sound, and I immediately knew what it was. My mom just had no idea, like, what it could be. She didn't think that I would do that. And so we got out of the car, and I see it there, and I start crying. I'm miserable. I'm like, what's going to happen to me? And my mom started laughing, which was crazy, because I was expecting to be, you know, killed for that, but, you know, she was laughing, so.
Really? And you yourself have become quite famous for this.
Yes,
people
unfortunately.
Come up to you.
Yeah, people just, you know, some people I don't know will just say, "Are you that girl, you know, that did that?" Yeah.
Well, Justine, since you were such a good sport about exploring your embarrassing story, you can tell everybody about Paul's little annoying problem.
Yes. We all appreciate Paul's humor and his talent. However, he has a pretty bad habit of saying the wrong thing quite often. So
all the time.
All the time.
Just kidding.
Really?
So
he means well.
So actually, there's one story in particular. We were at the same camp during the summer, and I had just finished performing the third movement of Sibelius, the violin concerto, and I get off, and he's like, "I had no idea how hard that was."
Paul, what were you thinking?
I really don't know.
He never knows.
Can you understand how Justine could be offended by this? I mean, Sibelius Concerto is hard, of course, famously hard, but she was supposed to be making it sound easy, look easy.
Yeah, I see that now.
Now.
But somehow I always manage to say the wrong thing.
Well, we want to help you, my boy. That's why we've prepared a top worst list for you. Okay, these are the top worst things you can say after a performance. And as therapy, we'd like you to read them, Paul. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah?
Okay, number 10.
I didn't know that piece was so hard.
You picked a real classic when you said that one to Justine. Go on, number 9.
Is that really what the composer intended?
Ooh,
ouch.
Really bad. Number 8.
I don't care what anyone else says. I thought you played that well.
Depression and paranoia. That's really nice. Number seven.
Was your dress bothering you?
I've heard that.
God. Number heard that six.
A really interesting concert.
I think I've heard that one before.
Yeah.
Number five.
So, do you usually have more people in the audience than that?
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Yeah, I've definitely had that one before. Number four.
I love the kind of music you play. It's so relaxing.
Number three.
Did they give you a chance to warm up?
Oh, wow.
That's a harsh one.
You're brutal, Paul. Number two.
Don't listen to me. I don't know anything about music.
Yeah.
And the number one worst thing to say after a performance is...
Wasn't that the soundtrack for that Visa ad?
Very well done, Paul. I hope we've purged you of those horrible things to say. Yeah.
Thank you.
And meanwhile, you guys, just a spectacular performance of that Debussy. Just beautiful.
Thank you.
No wonder you're such winners. Great having you with us. Thanks.
Thank you.
The Newman String Quartet from the Settlement Music School in Philadelphia. Justine Lambudge, Robin Bollinger, the now slightly more sensitive Paul Lariah, and Sarah Rommel.
You know what's the worst thing to say at the end of a highlight show, Chris?
What?
Goodbye.
Aww, that's not the worst thing.
It's the saddest.
But we'll be back next week.
Oh, thank goodness.
And to make this sorrow of parting a little less sorrowful, we've got some great music to take us out. The phenomenal 18-year-old accordion player, Sammy Thomas, from Cheney, Washington.
Playing Chopin's Nightmare.
By Joe Spano.
This special highlights episode of From the Top is produced by Tim Banker, from original material produced with lead producer Tom Vagley and music director Tom Vinieri. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Ouellette, with Dan Hallis, David Forbes, and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavin and Jennifer Hurley Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and from the May Family Foundation, supporting Fountain House, committed to providing opportunities for people with mental illness to live, work, and learn through a community of mutual support. More information is available at fountainhouse.org. And from Emily and Antoine Van Ochtmail, supporting New Futures, which works to help low-income D.C. area youth graduate from community college or certificate programs and become financially self-sufficient. Information is available at newfuturesdc.org.
This is Christopher O'Reilly, and I hope you had fun listening to this week's podcast. As you might imagine, making From the Top happen week after week costs quite a bit of dough. If you believe in what we do, we really need you to help us out. Make a contribution of any size at fromthetop.org.